Things are not what they seem, Chris. You saw what they did. They didn't tell you they were coming in because they want me dead.
One more gun goes off, and I'm going to give the order to move in myself. You understand? Don't think you've bought anything by asking me to come here. Because you need to remember, I am a stranger to you. You have no idea what I'm capable of.
They say a friend ain't the big between a girl and a boy. I don't know who said it or why they got to be so wrong. Oh, why don't you call? Don't you care anymore? It's not fair. Don't let them get you.
Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
This, if I had to be honest, this has been the week of Power Cuts refusing to let this podcast work.
The week of? I mean, I don't think one counts as the week of. But
no, it's the week of.
Continue your story.
So
Christmas is only one day. It's Christmas week. So this is Power Cut.
Alright, fair enough.
You guys had a Power Cut yesterday, mm-hmm. which stopped us from recording yesterday. So we're recording on Sunday as opposed to Saturday. But since we recorded the last podcast late, I was editing the podcast Thursday night to go up on Friday morning, and I had a power cut Thursday night at like 12 o'clock in the night while I was editing. There was a power cut
Thursday
night.
Don't you guys have all the power in the world?
It was actually a nationwide power cut.
That is essentially what happened in Jamaica. Turns out both your brothers are idiots.
No, not both. No,
I heard about this.
Yeah, both of them are morons. And so we didn't record our podcast because someone forgot to plug it back in the internet.
Listen,
I don't like to point fingers, but this is clearly Douglas's.
Oh, fuck you. It was not
as Douglas. The older brother, he should have taught his younger brother to plug things in back after he's plugged them out. He failed to do so.
Listen, if I call and he says, oh, power is back, but the internet is back. Then I come home and I said, do we have internet? And he says, no.
Mm-mm.
How am I supposed to know that what has really happened is Nicholas has forgotten to plug back in the internet?
Douglas,
how does that
you've
work?
Raised that dumb brother. This is your fault. It is sad that he's smarter than all of us.
I don't know how true that statement is.
So, Andrew, since the last time we've recorded, for people who haven't listened, we have changed the format of the podcast, thanks to our supreme leader decision. And we're listening to him more than ever now because he's been giving us signals that we might not be doing this with him for much longer.
Oh man! And what signals are those, sir?
I don't want to anger you, so let's just move on. So we're going to start out with the review this week. I wanted to watch Michael Shannon in another movie. And Willem Dafoe being in that movie didn't really hurt. There's things that he's in that I absolutely hate, and there's things that he's in that I love. I'm talking about Willem Dafoe, not Michael Shannon. Shannon gets essentially a free pass, because even when he's just a bit part in movies, he's usually Michael Shannon in all of those movies. So it usually works.
Yeah, but
1144,
going down Havenhurst. Do you read me? Over.
I read you.
What's an 1144?
1144 is like somebody's dead.
An unexpected crime.
Razzle them. Dazzle them.
Excuse me.
on a quiet street.
Red matter and the sword.
Most certainly the murder weapon.
Seems like an open and shut case.
You see a Caucasian male, approximately 6'4".
Yeah, he walked right by.
That's our suspect.
But the mystery isn't who did it.
Brad McCallum, he did it. He stabbed her.
He stabbed his mother, and she is dead.
Or how.
Ever since he came back from Peru, he's been strange.
He has apparently taken some hostages and barricaded himself inside.
But why?
Some people act a role, others play a part.
Journey.
He's claiming his name is Farouk. He shouts about God. Look,
I don't want to start out with a negative, but the problem is Werner Herzog directed this movie. And he's clearly bipolar. There are times when...
Have we said what this movie is yet, by the way?
No. And we won't. There's times when Werner Herzog gives us gems. Gems like Port Call of New Orleans, which is terrific. And then we get My Son, What Have You Done? Which, while not a terrible movie, is also not a very good movie. Michael Shannon is the star of this movie. He plays a crazy person who is becoming an actor and has taken the whole, you know, getting in the role bit of being an actor too far. He's supposed to be in a play, in the play, I don't even remember the name of the play. It's a Greek play, some famous Greek play. I don't know why I'm doing this to myself. However, in the play, the protagonist murders his mother. And so Michael Shannon takes it upon himself to follow through in real life. And the movie is about, you know, people essentially telling stories about what led to this point. And Willem Dafoe is the detective. Why is Michael Peña in this movie? I like him
He's
a lot.
He's there so that he can hand out water and pizza.
Fair enough. Willem Dafoe is kind of investigating this story. Well, he is investigating it. And they know that it's Michael Shannon, and the movie is told in essentially a series of flashbacks. And Michael Shannon is perfect in this movie. Take nothing away. If you take nothing else away from this, it is clear, like we knew this already, but Michael Shannon, when he decides to be the creepiest person alive, he can hit that mark 100% of the time. And he has such a vast, you know, acting range that in the movie he's called upon to, you know, act poorly because he's playing an actor. And he does that.
Yeah, that was perfect.
Almost too well. The problem, though, is that Herzog decides to tell the story in what might be the worst way I've ever seen a story be told. It is. And then, because, you know, he is who he is, he has directorial flares. Like, people staring deadpan into the camera for long stretches of time for absolutely no reason. And a lot of other things. And the movie was just dragged down by its Herzoginess.
It was way too Herzogian.
Yes. I mean, there are other actors in the movie, but they're really, like, there's one person that I know Douglas loves, a female.
No,
actress.
Why would I like Chloe Sevigny? That's who you're talking
yes,
about, right?
You do?
No. Andrew, maybe, because he assumed. Used to love. What happened was, Chloe Sevigny, the reason why both me and Andrew know her is because she was in Big Love,
right?
That show with Bill Paxton. And Andrew fell in love with that show. I did not really like it too tough, but Andrew was like, oh, this show is awesome. And since then, I don't know where he stands, but so My guess is I think either
I think 1 week we should have the top five list of movies Douglas thinks I like or TV shows Douglas thinks I like that I don't.
No, no, no. You see, the thing is, Andrew, while he is, what's the word, implying that he doesn't like this show.
Watch it religiously.
I have, what probably happened is he realized later on, wow. That show's bad. and doesn't really? Want to admit this. But when that show was on, at least for the first 2 to 3 years, he watched it religiously. He scampered down the stairs every time it came on. He loved this TV show.
And he got other people to watch it with him, which is usually a good benchmark of what you think of one another.
So while Andrew can tell me, rightfully so, that he has now come to realize how bad this show is, he cannot tell me that he did not like this show at the time. Andrew?
What? I can't tell you because you're going to say I'm wrong.
Am I wrong?
Yes. I watched it mainly I watched it because, I even tell people I've watched probably the entire of Sex and the City because
I
used to watch that in order to get to our list.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of with Big Love. I think maybe for a few episodes I was kind of into it, but I didn't watch more than a season and a half.
Andrew watched at least 2 years. So why then did you watch it every day? Was there a
every
show
day?
After it? Not every day. Every week.
I can't even remember what show was after it that I would watch.
Lucky Louie?
Oh,
It was probably a show which I haven't even revisited. It was probably the worst HBO show I can think of. But the one with the surfer, what was his name again?
Oh, John from Cincinnati.
Oh, yes. I remember Douglas having positive things to say about that.
I honestly still at least have that positive view in my head because I haven't rewatched them. But I just remember loving it because I could never quite guess what was happening next. And that's something that I used to, because
that's pretty rare in TV shows.
Yeah, yeah. You're able to, I mean, to this day, if I ever say to Andrew, I know you're a drug dealer, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. And he will laugh his ass off.
Inside jokes are the best.
I see the smile there in the Google Plus. Because
don't explain inside jokes.
Yeah, right.
They're best. Right. Those are truly the best jokes. Two people on earth deep understand why what you said is funny, and everybody else looks at you laughing like you guys are idiots. I understand those jokes.
But anyways, we were talking about Werner Herzog.
Oh, right, we're trying not to. the truly disappointing thing about this movie is that it came out a long time ago. And I've wanted to watch this movie for a while, and I kept not watching this movie. And finally I said, alright, if I'm going to ever watch this, we might as well review it, because I'm fairly certain none of these guys have seen this movie. And
I saw it.
Oh. And so why didn't you warn us ahead of time?
Because I was like, sure, let's talk about it.
We didn't have to. I could have picked up. Could have gone, oh, son, this is terrible.
I think I said that when I talked about the movie a while back.
I hope not, because then I'd feel even worse. But yeah, this movie is not good. If you want to see some terrific acting, you can watch it, because, again, Shannon's performance is spot on. It is incredible. But it is wrapped in a movie that you probably shouldn't be watching. Douglas Robinson, you seem to have enjoyed this movie. Oh, no, you did.
Actually, what I did enjoy was hearing you say how much you did not enjoy this movie. Okay. Because while I was watching this film, we understand that there are certain weird films that we all like and love. You know, for me and you, it's Lars.
Yes.
You know, for Andrew, it's Big Love. There's all sorts of things that, you know, we love for no reason. So I was watching this movie, and actually, a funny story, the power cut also affected my ability to finish watching this movie.
Good stuff.
Which I'm not sure is a bad thing. So I have watched up to, I think I have about 20 minutes left. So, but I've watched enough to at least
nothing is
gauge.
Resolved in this movie. So I will go ahead and spoil it right
okay,
up
thank
front.
Thank you. But I was watching this movie the whole way, trying to wrap my head around it. Well, not really wrap my head around it, because it's a fairly straightforward story. Right. You understand what's going on. But trying to kind of get myself in a position where I can like something about this movie. And the whole way through, I'm watching it and I'm thinking, I need to find something to like about this movie. Because this is one of those movies that Damien will like and Andrew will like and then make fun of me for not liking. So, as you continue your tirade on how bad this movie was, I was just sitting here mentally sighing in relief. Yeah. Yeah. Because at least I am not a crazy person. This movie is bad. Yes. But the thing about this movie is that it's bad while it kind of suggests to you that you're weird for not liking it. Because there's so many technically good things about this movie. The acting from essentially everybody is spot on. I had a bit of an issue with the foreign director, but whatever. Right?
it fell too on the nose. The whole time I'm like, seriously?
But so the acting, top notch. The cinematography was great. This movie looked pretty, right? I think where this movie fell apart was the direction and was the Herzogianisms.
There's no
that were
clearly where this movie.
Actually, some of this movie, you know, there are one and two things in this movie that I have to appreciate. For instance,
if an editor sat down with this movie, he might get a good movie out of it somewhere.
This movie was just it. You know what it was. And, you know, kudos to Herzog, because I'm sure this is exactly what he wanted to do. It essentially threw all of its weirdness right up in your face. And it's like, listen, if you're a normal person, fuck yourself. You're not going to like this movie. If you're a not-so-normal person, fuck yourself. You're not weird enough to like this movie either. Right? You have to be...
All right. Do you wake up this morning and think, I need to watch a Herzog film? You are my target audience.
Exactly. Right? Do you wake up every morning and think to yourself, I'm kind of as weird as Michael Shannon in this movie? Then this movie is for you. But
did you think Rubber was a good movie? Then you definitely need to watch it.
So I
liked Rubber.
I think probably my favorite part in this movie, and it happened twice, right? The first time it happened, it kind of was a nice little... Essentially, it made me chuckle. Mm-hmm. Was when the neighbors... Well, there were certain weird things about this movie that were borderline just funny. Like when they started out and Willem Dafoe and Michael Peña came into the crime scene.
Right.
And all the neighbors were still sitting down with their tea and trying to act as if these people weren't using measuring tape and screaming out notes right over their heads. That was strange. I don't understand. I don't think that's how police work is done, but...
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's probably not how it's done. Usually want to clear
the probably crime. How it's done in Jamaica.
Yeah, yeah. Another great part was... right when Willem Dafoe walks in, Michael Shannon just... He's out there with his mug... And he just stops Willem Dafoe and says, "Razzle them, dazzle them, razzle, dazzle them." And I'm like, how do you not arrest a man who does that at a crime scene? Right?
He's clearly the guilty part.
and somebody actually calls him on it, and I'm happy for that. Because somebody comes in, did you see a guy out there? Why the fuck didn't you arrest him?
Why should I? Did you see him?
But no, actually, my favorite part of this movie was when they were in the living room measuring their measurements. And afterwards, they started to actually talk to the neighbors. And one of the neighbors said something along the lines of, ever since he came back from Peru 2 years ago, he got strange. Wait, no. Not strange is not the word. Mm-hmm. Different. Because clearly, this man was strange ever since he pooped himself out of his mom's lady bits. Right? This man is certifiably
he's
odd.
A strange man.
Yes.
Michael Shannon.
He cries out of one eye, okay?
Alright. Before Andrew gets a chance, because Douglas is just descending into big parts that he enjoys.
Yes.
So let me give my one, and then Andrew can give us an updated review of this movie. There's a scene where they're all standing in the woods, and they're just staring dead at the camera.
Okay, I don't think I've
reached that far. For no reason whatsoever. Michael Shannon and some guy is there, and then the director is like on a hill, and they're just staring at the camera, and there's a point where you see Michael Shannon look away, and then look
back.
Oh,
wait, I remember this. Yes, it was him and his Uncle Ted.
Yeah.
And by the way, do you know who Uncle Ted is?
No.
Because normally, right,
mm-hmm.
in movies, you have your cast list in the beginning, and if at the end you see something along the lines of, and Mel Gibson
mm-hmm.
as the anti-Semitic uncle,
mm-hmm.
That means that Mel Gibson is like some big actor that you've gotten and people will know. And that's why you're highlighting him and telling you which role he's in. At the beginning of this movie, it was given, Michael Shannon, Willem Dafoe, all of these
right.
pretty famous people. And then at the end it says, and this person as Uncle Ted. And I was like, oh, I don't know that name.
Right.
I must know his face, though. And as soon as I saw him, I was like,
I don't know
what?
Any of these people.
Yeah. But I want to say one thing, though. This movie fails on so many levels. And the main reason I can say that I don't like this movie and why I feel that this movie has failed is that the whole time when I was watching this movie, you know, when you watch something and at the end of it you realize that you're tired, your face hurts because the whole way through you've been screwing up your face because you're trying to figure out, what am I watching, what is going on, and how does this make any sort of sense? That happened to me yesterday when I was watching this movie. So this movie, I'm sorry Herzog, I have seen some things that I like from you.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Port of Call is not one of them. And I know this is a Trump approved thing.
Bears.
But, oh, I haven't even seen that one. What I've seen is,
phenomenal.
You know what I love? There's a documentary. I'm not even sure if he directs it, but he's at least a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
This so called documentary, it's a mockumentary, really, about the about Nessie, about the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh.
And it is funny.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because, I came back and I was into crazy ass shit, and that's why it spoke to me, because Herzog is nothing if not crazy.
Mushrooms.
But I mean I thought that thing was funny.
Andrew
and
Robinson.
Fun. So Andrew.
So number one, he didn't direct that movie. Incident of at Loch Ness.
Yeah.
Is directed by Zach Penn.
Zach Penn.
Whoever that is.
I know that name. Do you not know who Zach Penn is, Andrew? Seriously?
No, I don't. Number two, Uncle Ted is played by Brad Dourif, who has been in films such as The Lord of the Rings trilogy, Dune, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and Mississippi Burning.
No, we're not saying he's not a person.
No, I know, but Douglas is like, I don't know who that guy is. I just felt like saying, I think I saw this film the year that it came out in 2009, and right now I'm not quite sure exactly how I felt about it back then. I mean, I remember being very struck by Michael Shannon in the film, as we all have mentioned. But watching it now, I think across the board, everyone kind of plays to 1,000% in delivering the acting in this film. I mean, if you talk about some of the minor roles, like Loretta Devine, who plays the other neighbor who we hear an interview of in the ambulance outside, when we see Uncle Ted, when he's starting to talk about his ostriches. I kind of like that scene. And even more than that, that opening scene with Michael Peña and Willem Dafoe. Willem Dafoe tells a story of how he was goaded into running down a police officer in a high speed chase to eventually have a moment of going where the officer is attempting to arrest him for speeding. It's a really fun scene, and I love that in this movie. You guys even brought up a couple weird moments. I mean, there's a laundry list of some more which kind of strike me as kind of oddly cool. I mean, I think my favorite is there's this one moment where Michael Shannon is with his director, played by Udo Kier, in what I can only assume is a shopping mall. I don't know. And he's going, they're at a staircase.
A good moment. Yeah, it's very.
And he, oddly enough, he just finds this spot where he's looking down and he says, this is the passage of time right here, or something like that, yeah. Tunnel of time. And the visual you get in that moment where the camera just shows you what he's looking at, as well as showing you Michael Shannon basically walking in one spot on the stairwell, I kind of like. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I took away from this movie in this turn. While the story and the execution of that story, I didn't find interesting enough for me to go, yes, I need to have this movie on my shelf. There were so many visual moments that I really got into this movie. I mean, there's something as tiny as there was one moment early on where he's saying that he doesn't need God in his house anymore, while the police are outside, and he throws out this can of oats, and you just kind of have the can of oats rolling out, and the camera just zooms in on that can and just follows it, tracking it down the driveway, and it worked on me there. I think another point which I kind of love is the flamingos, right? I'm sorry. Every time he called them his birds in drag, was that it?
No, it's eagles like, in drag.
Eagles in drag. I laughed.
But you realize he got that from his Uncle Ted, right?
Yeah, I do.
Because
yeah.
What did he call the ostriches again? It was something in drag.
I don't remember that exactly was, what it was in drag, yeah. But the whole thing of X in drag, like, I found it funny. Oh man, this movie could have been so much better than it was. I like the idea of this, of, you know, and we've seen this in movies before where we're watching the everything happen after the crime has occurred, and it's this really close knit story of how the detective has come in and he's trying to fill in the gaps of what's happened while at the same time trying to get the suspect. And it's not necessarily this tight-knit noir where he's running down streets trying to catch him. He knows where he is and he just can't go in yet. And at the same time, we're getting all of this backstory and we're getting it through the eyes of all of these people. So it kind of plays into this almost documentary feel, because this is, and as Damien kind of brought up with what we'll be doing in our top five, it's based on a true event where this guy actually did this, where we only get to have all of these flashback scenes when we actually go into an interview with someone who knows him, like his fiance Ingrid, played by Chloe, where she talks about how they were at a play and he was there disturbing the play, like reading out lines. We get the interview with Loretta, where we finally get the scene of him coming in with the sword that eventually he stabs his mother with, and all of those scenes in the flashbacks with the mother, like, I don't know if I want to call her a great actress, because I don't think she really does a lot, but just her physique in the moment and the way that Herzog films her, she just comes off as the creepiest, weirdest mother. Like, if you thought Michael Shannon was weird, when you meet his mother, you go, yeah, that makes sense. And it's... it's odd like that. Like I feel weird that I'm giving so much praise to this movie, because at the same time I'm with you guys. I didn't quite enjoy it, and it's just a weird movie. It's a movie that's really tough to watch.
Yeah, it's for always. I'm gonna love you with all of my heart. And if there is no more time, it's always a man. If they answer the world's business, never talk. Cause I remember the day I waited so patiently for God to bring someone who's gonna be good to me. And then bless my soul.
Last week I asked everyone a question. I asked about films being too American and kind of hinting towards their detriment, and the internet responded. There was Kashiki Harrison over on Facebook who brought up Act of Valor. I don't know if any of us actually watched that movie.
Is that Meg Ryan?
No.
No, that is the U.S. Navy SEAL movie.
Version of Zero Dark Thirty.
Okay, cool. Well, no, I'm thinking of an army movie too. It's Meg Ryan and Denzel Washington. I just realized that's Medal of Honor. Yes. Is what that is.
Isn't that Medal of Honor is a game?
Medal of Honor is an actual movie? So
no, I'm pretty sure that's what it's called.
I'm fairly certain that is not what it's called.
Anna Long over at Defiant Success. She brought up, and I'm pretty sure this wasn't in a detriment, she brought up Easy Rider. That's
really
definitely a very American movie.
Yeah, but that's a road movie. And if you're going to go on the road in America...
Apologies, Courage Under Fire. Is
yeah, that's not... right.
But you know what it is? It's because she got a Medal of Honor in the movie.
So, Act of Valor is wrong. Medal of Honor is wrong. Call of Duty is also wrong. Battlefield 4
what about
is super duper wrong.
What about World of Warcraft? Or
Black Ops 2
guys,
is also unacceptable.
It's all Far Cry. It's all Far Cry.
Far Cry 3 is acceptable.
Call of Duty? Yes. No.
All right.
Okay.
I don't agree with Easy Rider.
Easy Rider, as
don't
in
agree with it,
Fonda and okay.
If all right, if you have your road movie set in America, then it can't, like, to the detriment of the movie, it was American. I don't think so. They just drove around and they experienced what the director thought America was. That was pretty okay. I don't think that was to the detriment of it. At least that.
Merle Barr over at fatguysatthemovies.com, as well as Ryan McNeil from The Matinee, brought up Armageddon.
Hey, no, think,
hey,
whoa, hey, whoa.
Hold on there, buddy.
I really think the detriment part didn't...
Yeah, exactly. There needs to be a detriment.
Hey, whoa.
While that may be very American, that is also an awesome movie. Right?
If you can point out where the detrimental effects are, then I'll accept. But you cannot... So I do not accept.
You know, I think I'm beginning to like this segment. This segment is effectively a segment where myself and Damien get to tell people why they're wrong.
Yes. And we do so enjoy it.
So bring
it. I think it's your favorite hobby. But I think my favorite response, and this is like proof that I don't think anyone saw the word detriment, right? is Corya Tad over from the movie Mezzanine brought up the South Park movie.
No.
What? But the funniest part,
they sang Blame Canada. And that was not to the detriment. Boyd Boitano is Canadian.
Brian Boitano, yeah.
And so again,
I love how the Canadian ambassador had to yet again apologize for, what's the singer's name? Ryan, I can't remember.
Shit, it's been so long since I've seen that movie.
Yeah, I know, right?
Brian something.
Yeah.
Bryan Adams?
Yes, Bryan Adams. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. They're like, and we have apologized for him on many occasions before. Yep. Don't bring that up again.
That was funny. But to be honest, I think my favorite part, because like, it kind of spurned on a conversation between me and Corey talking about this topic, is that he kind of brought up a joke which I didn't quite understand and I took it kind of seriously, only to find out that there is a short film from 1898 that you'll find on IMDb entitled American Flag, which is literally just a video of the American flag flying, and it says in the description that color was added for dramatic effect. Because of course back then they didn't have color film that they could shoot
that
on.
That is some impressive film.
So I think that one should really win the discussion of so American to the detriment.
So
of the
so
film.
Does my response not play a part here? Oh no!
What was your response, sir?
Wow, Andrew didn't even see it. That's awesome.
I saw it.
That's how important I am to him. Okay, Andrew, let's move on. I think we have our top five to talk about.
No, I have to say the new question.
Oh, right.
So I was thinking that this week, upcoming in theaters, people are going to get to start to see The Place Beyond the Pines. And I wanted to ask, what are people's favorite cinemas, Cops and Robbers? Because that's a movie about cops and robbers, you know?
I like Cops and Robbers.
Seriously?
Yes.
Seriously?
That movie's awesome.
Can we?
Yes.
Can we edit
it? It has Chevy Chase.
Throw
no,
up
you're not going to throw up. Just, throw up. No, open your eyes. Look at me. All right?
What kind of cancer is it? What's the name of the cancer?
Some rare kind of cancer.
What's it called?
Schwannoma. I knew this.
Schwannoma?
Schwannoma.
It's Schwannoma? What's Schwannoma?
That means tumor, basically.
But do you have a picture of it, at least? Can I see it?
Why would I have a picture of it?
It's common practice to fucking get pictures of shit now.
It doesn't
I don't
look like
know.
Anything. It's just a lump. That's what it doesn't. It's not a picture of anything.
Well, you're going to be okay.
I think
chances.
So.
What are your odds?
I don't know. I mean, I looked it up and it said 50-50, but that's like the internet, so.
So anyways, this week, tying in with the film My Son, What Have You Done, Damien asked us to do our top five films based on true events.
Yes.
So Damien, it's been your week. I want you to kick off the list.
Alright, so starting off, my fifth favorite is 8 Mile.
That's actually here on my
and
list.
That's it. 8 Mile, and I am out.
Yep.
I have one.
Oh, snap.
Yep. Listen, Andrew, I want to...
apologize for us being morons.
Before Damien goes on, I want to at least, because clearly he's talking rubbish.
Oh, no
but,
shit.
But the funny thing is, right, I also had a rubbish list, right, that I wanted to speak of. And it's kind of the...
Antithesis to this question.
Antithesis, yes. But also, what happened to me, right, you know that generally I don't like, or I... say that I don't like movies that are based on true stories because that means it's probably heartfelt or just bad or whatever, right? and that's what I expected to find out when I did a list like this. And so in that sort of mindset, I came up with my top five honorable mentions. On top of my honorable mentions actually was 8 Mile, which is which clearly means that myself and Damien are thinking along the same lines.
Mackay 5-4 is amazing.
Yes. I also put on there "Get Rich or Die Trying." That was.
Oh my goodness!
Did you even watch that movie? That was a better pick. I fucked up, guys. Douglas won.
Where's the Jay-Z movie?
No, I did not put the Jay-Z movie on blueprint. Here. I also went for. I went for some dignified picks as
Notorious.
Well. I went, well done, Andre. I went for some dignified picks. And so, as such, on my list also is Machine Gun Preacher, as well as Invictus.
so you're just destroying the list
and,
for no reason.
And last but not least, this movie is great. For not just the movie itself, but the musical accompaniment that it brought along, Dangerous Minds.
All right. No, Douglas has, and I, let me not just blame Douglas, this is mostly my fault, have railroaded our own top 5 list. I'm going to just start off with a deadly series. My first movie is Hunger.
I figured as much. I knew that had to be
something. Oh shit, I forgot about that movie.
Hunger is tremendous. And knowing that, I mean, maybe that specific story didn't happen, but there were stories like that. Many people died on hunger strike during that conflict.
Yeah.
And just watching it play out in this movie, like, you feel the dirt, you feel the grime, and then you feel him physically getting weaker and weaker, and like you're put through emotionally, you're put through your paces watching this movie. And Fast Bottom was fantastic, and the movie direction was just superb. Everyone should see this, and it's really remarkable filmmaking.
So, is it a good thing or a bad thing that I haven't watched that movie yet?
That is like it is. Getting up there with some of the other things that you haven't watched.
Actually, I think I watched
it's on Netflix.
No, I know it is, and I watched the first hour of it on Netflix and realized that it's a good movie when, well, you know, it's something, maybe not a good movie, but when you watch an hour of a film and there is literally no dialogue yet, that movie takes a long time to start people.
Oh, you didn't get to the dialogue?
No, I didn't get to the dialogues yet.
Because there is one specific scene which everyone knows, yes, if you've seen that movie.
There's one pretty good scene with the talking.
Okay. It's really good. My number 5, and I actually did number this list. Is Boogie Nights.
If you thought you were going to get through this list and not hear Boogie Nights, you're high and drunk.
Come on, Andrew. This is Tom. this is greatness. I mean, you have Philip Seymour. You've got the man that I still love to hate, Don Cheadle, who did a great job for some reason. And you've got all sorts of positives, no negatives to this film.
Mark
awesome.
Wahlberg was in this film.
That's how,
and it is still great.
Yeah, that's how you know it's a good movie.
Standing in defiance of Dirk. Was it Dirk Diggler?
Dirk Diggler. Yeah, yes, that's
Dirk.
Who he is. Yeah, yeah.
So good.
Speaking of honorable
mention, no, should probably be the other Dirk Diggler movie starring Val Kilmer.
Stop.
Yes. No.
Stop.
Oh, okay.
Stop.
Sorry. Andrew?
Let Andrew talk.
Keep going.
What's wrong with you?
What Dirk Diggler movie starred Val Kilmer?
Let me tell you what it's called. I have to search. I have to look it up now.
Wow. Well, I guess I have to start my top 5 out with an audible, because my number 5 was Boogie Nights.
Oh, shit.
Number this list, because I know you guys are going to steal half of these movies.
So my number 5 audible goes to Dog Day Afternoon, which is a film which, when it starts out, it says film only 30% true, which is based on the 1972 book Brooklyn Robbery by John, I'm going to ruin his name, Watowicks. I can't say it.
Thanks for that.
But it stars Al Pacino, and it's this great movie where you kind of, if you ever wanted to see a heist movie where our all protagonists are horrible thieves. This is one of those movies. And it's kind of odd how well it plays out for Al Pacino and his compatriot, because they actually make it to the end with a relative amount of ease. I mean, there are some great moments where you can see that he actually put thought into how to do it, where he comes into the bank and you can tell he knows a few things, that he knows how alarms are set off and such. But there is so often a moment where the emotional comes into it for his character and it just ruins it. And I kind of loved this movie when I first saw it, and I really should revisit it.
Yep. Yeah, so the name of the Dirk Diggler movie that stars Val Kilmer is Wonderland, 2003. And it has to do with murder / crazy crime that he was involved in.
Never heard of it, and now it's ruined porn for me all over.
Val Kilmer is in it, so...
No, well, you see, the thing about Val Kilmer, he is a great actor. He also is a horrible actor. Because he is bipolar. You'll watch him and think that he is, you know...
Terrific
in one movie. And then the next movie, he is...
I saw him in Felon and I went, holy shit, he can act. And then I saw him in something else and went, oh, God damn it, Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
All right. So this one is pretty easy. And I'm going to take it now because I don't like any of you guys.
I think you're
going
to take me.
Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yes. It's not mine. That would be Andrew. Andrew just got burned.
Nope, not on the list.
Oh, good work. So you both don't like that movie. That's a terrific deal.
I love that movie.
Just not enough for it to be on this
list. I appreciate that movie, mm-hmm. but I did not... I didn't watch it when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't kind of... I don't have that everlasting love that Andra has for it.
Alright, so I also didn't see this movie when it came out. Mm-hmm. I saw this movie actually after watching Flags of Our Fathers, which is...
Oh, wow, that's recent.
Yeah, which is 2007, I think.
Yeah.
And then I went, oh, I should watch this one because everyone says it is the best one of all of these. And I sat down and I watched it and I went, holy shit.
Yeah, man, it's great.
This is the best one of all of these.
Pretty great.
A movie that stars Vin Diesel, that's good.
Fast and Furious. Fast 6.
And then somewhere in that list is Saving Private Ryan. And you're like, why are those things all intermingled?
Vin Diesel wasn't really in that movie. Guys, let's be serious.
Okay, so I guess it's my turn.
Yes.
And for my number 4 pick, I am about to fuck Damien in the ass because I'm taking Catch Me If You Can.
Ah, you son of a bitch.
That movie is awesome. It is the first movie where I realized that perhaps I like this Leonardo DiCaprio person.
Have you seen What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
I have, but I saw it afterwards.
Okay.
And I love that movie too. That shows that, you know, clearly something was wrong with me.
He was in garbage for a long time.
Yeah, because what I knew him as originally when I was younger Teen was Heart things Frog. Like, exactly, mm-hmm. things like The Titanic. And exactly.
If that is on any one of your lists, I am leaving this podcast forever.
but Catch Me If You Can, it's perfect. And I guess it kind of plays as a nice partner to Damien's pick because it's the same director, Steven Spielberg. It's just, you know, it's great fun. And
it was when he was at the peak of his game. Like his game was on point.
Yeah.
In the 90s. And less so now.
Well, I won't go that far. I like some of his new stuff. I still haven't watched a couple of his newest stuff, so I can't really speak to right this second. Because I didn't watch War Horse. I still haven't watched Daniel Day-Lewis. So, let's see.
Daniel Day-Lewis in Daniel Day-Lewis.
Exactly.
Have you seen Lincoln, Damien?
I started... It is crushingly boring.
Oh,
like, we knew this was going to happen.
Guys.
Look, Andrew, I'm going to finish watching it because watching Daniel Day-Lewis play himself is fantastic.
Can I tell you, I actually turned on the TV, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and on it was some like 90s movie mm-hmm. with Daniel Day-Lewis in there. and he was young. He was like 30s. Yeah. He played a boxer, and it was clearly just, you know, like a regular movie. No big deal. Well, it was about, you know, IRA, and so there was a little bit of a serious undertone in there. But at least what I saw wasn't extremely serious, not yet at least. But I was just enamored. I was in a rapture. I sat down. I think I had something to do or somewhere to go. I sat down for a good like 15 minutes just saying, I soon get up. I soon move, I soon Lord. There's just something about the man, Andrew. Daniel Day-Lewis draws you in. Lincoln. It's like he has a straw and he's drinking your milkshake. There's just, it's, I don't know.
Douglas, didn't your mother tell you not to give out your milkshake to just anyone?
Actually, my mother told me that it brings the boys to the
yard. I knew it! I knew it!
I know it doesn't take much to give Douglas. Right. It doesn't take much to push Douglas in the correct direction. So I'm just going to take this over.
How can I stop this? I cannot let this ball drop on the podcast and slowly, you know, die inside.
Honestly, though, if we didn't have some semblance of dignity, right? We'd probably go this whole podcast between me and Andrew, and then you'd probably chime in too, just bringing these one-liners, these stale,
these awful, awful jokes that crack us up, and no one else. It's not an inside joke if only you laugh, Douglas. It's just a bad joke. You're a terrible person.
Who's picking? So what was your pick, Douglas? Yes.
My pick was Catch Me If You Can, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks. Again, yet another part. I didn't even think of that. Tom Hanks was the saver of Private Ryan. Yes. Now he is the arrester of Leonardo DiCaprio. Beautiful. Andrew, time for you to pick a Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks movie.
Sadly, the times end here because I can't think of anything off the top of my head which works with my next pick. My next pick comes from Brian De Palma and his adaptation of The Untouchables, which is based on the 1930s crackdown of Al Capone by Elliot Ness.
You said Brian De Palma. The internet went a little bit, and I thought I heard something like Brad Palmer or something like that. And I was like, who is this weird director no name that Andrew's bringing? Actually, you know what's funny? You talk about that movie. I just watched a little piece of it because the youngster was watching it last night. I have seen the movie before, but it's just great. It's a great movie to sit down and watch at any time. I love it.
I mean, at the end of the day, if I was to pick the one scene that I kind of always think of when I first utter The Untouchables as a title, it has to be the monologue from Robert De Niro about baseball, right? At the big table with all of the gangsters. And it's just a moment that you can't give up.
Al Pacino, yes. What about him? He's been in good movies recently.
Yes, but he's also been good in them, though. The worst shit imaginable.
Yeah, but all right. Let me tell you. With every good must come bad, and you must accept this. And nobody is 100%.
You need to tell that to Chris Nolan.
Okay. He just hasn't figured it out yet. All right? And you know that is true. God,
when it gets... He's going to do something so off, atrocious.
Oh, yes.
That's going to bring tears to our eyes.
But you see, what Robert De Niro has done is he has said, okay, I will be in some bad things, but that energizes me for the good things that I will be in. Like Al Pacino has gone... like completely dark,
full retard.
And as somebody once said, you never go full retard.
Am I wrong in saying that I feel people have already forgotten about that movie?
I don't know, but they really shouldn't.
Tropic Thunder is tremendous.
It's tremendous, and it's propelled Brandon T. Jackson to the heights that he is now, where he is able to play Eddie Murphy's... So, oh, wait. No, never mind.
Nope.
But I saw that on the movie news lately. Apparently, he's actually going to play Eddie Murphy's son in a television remake. Not remake, but a television show for Beverly Hills Cop. Has anybody seen that? That
no, I haven't.
So Al Pacino
but
is
Damian,
just Eddie Murphy's son.
My next movie is the most recent movie on my list. And I love it to death. Part of me wants to go back and change my pick for last year. ZD30 is the shit.
Go. I knew that would be on somebody's list.
The movie is fun. Oh, Christ, I love that movie. Douglas, I've seen it. I saw it twice in theaters. Even after I found out that it was the wrong aspect ratio, I still went back and watched it because I'm a child.
Yeah, you are.
And I've seen it 6 more times. At least that's what XBMC. Although one of those times might have been my sister. So I've seen it at least 5 more times. I adore that film. I don't know how Catherine Bigelow is doing this. But I want her to continue making these movies.
Yeah.
Because she clearly has a flair for them. And they're just so goddamn good. So, yeah. Zero
speaking,
to 30.
Speaking of true stories and Catherine Bigelow movies... my next pick is Near Dark, the vampire tale. All
right. So this has been the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
Actually, I'm pretty
Is this when you tell us the story of how you used to be a vampire, Douglas?
Yes, I think it is. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that one of us is going to have the other Catherine Bigelow movie, but I do not. My next movie, which goes well with what we were talking about before, about the Untouchables and Robert De Niro, is Goodfellas.
Shocking.
Directed by Martin Scorsese, starring lots of people,
everybody.
Including Robert De Niro.
Starring everybody.
Yeah.
Like, if you were a big actor back then, you were in this movie.
Yes. This movie is the one and only movie where I enjoyed a performance. Well, no, not the one, one and only, but the one and only movie where I enjoyed a starring performance by Mr. Why can't I remember his name all of a sudden?
Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta. Thank you very much, sir. He has done fuck all with his career, unfortunately. Or maybe fortunately. Maybe Martin Scorsese just knew
Killing
how to push his
buttons.
Killing
Him Softly was pretty good.
Killing Him Softly was pretty good. He was also in it for about 10 minutes. And that is the problem.
The League is also pretty good.
The League?
Yes.
As in the TV show?
Yes.
He's in the TV show? Where? When?
He is the lawyer guy's boss. And
oh yes,
afraid
oh,
of
yes.
germs, and it is amazing.
yes, and also he's in a bunch of other things.
Yes,
you know, and he works very well in them. Like Observe and Report, he was good in that. But
I like watching really even bad things.
He's what
even
he's
in the movie.
At, you know what he's good at? He's good at being ridiculous, and being ridiculous only works if it's done in small doses.
No. My number 3 pick for this list, I'm going to hand it over to Terrence Malick with Badlands. I recently rewatched this movie at the thanks of Mr. Douglas Robinson. only to find out that this movie is loosely based on the murder spree of Charles Starkweather, who is the role that Martin Sheen is playing throughout this film. And as loose as that story is, I don't know, but I'm still taking it and running with it for this list. Because I adore this movie. I thought that the time I've spent away from it would change my view on it, but no, I still kind of like it a lot. I mean, those moments in the middle of the film where they're kind of in this treehouse area, I just love it. I just love walking around that world and being like, they actually built more ladders here, and they have these things, they have this trap. It's kind of awesome. I love this movie, guys.
Alright, so we both picked 3 movies. There are obvious movies that I should see. But they
are getting into ridiculous territory here, are we?
Like, they're so pointlessly obvious that even when we're finished, if no one says these, I'm just going to mention them because they're the most obvious ones. So I'm going to skip those that should clearly be on the list and focus the next 2 picks on movies that I absolutely love and they just happen to be good stories. My second pick is Lord of War.
Oh, that's the Nick Cage movie?
The Nick Cage movie when he sells arms. And I remember when I saw this movie, I was starting to hate Nick Cage.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw this movie and went, holy shit. I love this movie. I love Nick Cage in this movie. This movie is awesome. And then I found out that, oh, this is actually a dude.
Yeah, it's definitely a true story.
This guy was a guy. Like a real person that did far worse things than this movie. Well, I don't think I like this movie anymore. Because I don't want any of this to actually happen. And I think, if anyone hasn't seen it, because this movie made less than no money.
Oh yeah, this movie.
Three people on Earth have seen it, and we're all talking to each other.
Yeah, and you luckily, while maybe he won't admit it, are talking to on the other line of this podcast, yes, the only other person that loves it as much as you do.
Yes,
because when he watched this movie, mm-hmm, he went batshit crazy.
Bananas. Okay, I mean that bullet title sequence.
Yes,
oh, that
bullet title sequence. While I do
like this movie is a good movie. Andrew is on a completely different level with this movie, right, Andrew?
Andrew, I think I'm on board with you. You're probably the last time in 2013.
So, no love for Badlands, Damien? No?
He never did have love. Remember, we've reviewed this movie already.
I know. I know this.
That's just a me and you thing. You know that.
And Douglas knows he's wrong. All right. Let's clear the air. Badlands is okay, guys. It's a 2 out of 4. A 2 out of 4.
Okay.
It's watchable. It's not great.
Okay.
Douglas Robinson.
I am about to blow everybody's mind.
Holy shit.
Damien's about to hate me. Andrew's about to love me. My number 2 pick.
Hanging on to my seat.
Yeah, you better be, because you're about to drop off. It's Elephant. Does anybody remember Elephant?
Oh, that was my number 2 pick. I literally have it here at number 2.
The both of you. Go straight.
Boy, Andrew, me and you clearly are way too alike, you know. Directed by Gus Van Sant.
I thought to myself, no one is going to
remember the man himself, Gus Van Sant.
This movie is fantastic. Andrew, if anything, you can take Jerry. I don't know if that's a real story, but you can take that one. I love that movie, so I give it to you. Elephant
Fuck
is
Jerry.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's this movie. It follows around these young students who eventually shoot up a school. It's not very movie-like in the sense of being classically driven by things like...
Or entertaining. Or really watchable. Or a movie.
It's unconventional. And I love it for its unconventionality. And
not
for
a word.
Yes, it is a word, god damn it. I really like this movie. This is my number 2. Andrew, you now need to call an audible go.
Oh, damn. Douglas, pick number 1 or number 2.
What?
Pick 1 or 2.
Yes, pick a number and he's going to pick.
I'm going to pick 2.
Okay, so my number 2 film is now audible to Almost Famous.
I knew that would be on your list.
It wasn't on my list to begin with. It was in my honorable mentions.
It's on mine, so I have it here somewhere.
The film is supposedly based on the early life of Cameron Crowe, directed by Cameron Crowe, which tells the story of a music lover who wants to become a journalist, who ends up going on a trip with not so much struggling, but a middling band who's just kind of coming up, by the name of Stillwater. And I think it spoke to me, and it's spoken to a lot of people who love to talk and preach about things in art, and not so much create the art, but just enjoy it as it is. Because it's been a film which, if you talk to anyone who is writing about film or about music or whatever, they're all going to point to this movie as a movie that kind of helped them realize certain things in their life, and it did that for me. I didn't want to put it on this list because I felt it would be kind of stereotypical, but There it is, Douglas. You audibled it in.
You're welcome. All right. So, my last movie. When making this list, I realized something. All of these movies are depressing as shit. There is not a one on here that is a happy story. Not a one. And so, I've decided that I'm not going to pick any of those movies. I'm going to go with the one movie that is
somewhat happy.
A fun movie to watch and that I love immensely. Despite it not being the greatest movie. It is clearly not one of the best movies on this list. I'm going with The Young Victoria. For
wow.
Mine. That movie is A, beautiful, and B, just fun to... I just enjoy watching that movie. It is just... It is light and fun. And based on... Because usually when they make stories about royalty, it is towards the depressing end. No one wants to watch a story about royalty being happy. They're already royalty. No one gives a shit about their happiness. But The Young Victoria told the story of this girl who fell in love and what the ramifications of that were. There wasn't any big drama. She didn't have to poison half of our family in order to get this done. Just told a nice story. And my God, was it beautiful to watch. And I enjoyed the performances of everybody. There's some jokes in there that I still use to this day. There's this one joke about rooms. It's like, you've stolen half my rooms. And the lady's like, no, they are where you left them. One cannot steal rooms. Like, that's a pretty good joke. And there's those other things like that. And I love this movie. So that is number one on my list. There's so much depression shit on this list, though. It is kind of sad.
Yep. I suppose that makes it my turn.
Yes.
And I'm actually really proud of my number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not for the right reasons, though.
Douglas. Uh-huh. Douglas.
Yeah?
If you steal my movie.
No, I guarantee you this is not on your list. However, I can think about it. Let's see. I have two movies that I'm actually very concerned that have not come up yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that it is one of those two, and we'll see if I'm right or I'm wrong. The reason I'm so very proud of my number one mm-hmm. pick is that I was somehow able to pick a movie that answers two questions. Andrew asked last week, what was the most American movie there was? What was the worst or to its detriment so American? And jokingly, I was able to come up with this movie and I sent it across the Twitter space and Andrew just threw it away and didn't even remember what I said. And and now I am able to say that this is my number one movie that is based on a true story. And that movie, my friends, is Cool Runnings. Cool Runnings, while it's... I don't think anybody can really argue for this to be a really good movie. And Damien definitely appears to be quite disappointed in me. I love this movie. I went to watch this movie when I was very young. It came out while I was probably not even in my teens yet. And to this day, the nostalgia goggles are on with full effect, even when I watch it. John Candy is fantastic. The fact that they have all of these American actors playing Jamaicans on the bobsled team is hilarious.
All right, so I'm cutting you off now.
I love that movie.
So then, my movie is what? The Mighty Ducks?
Yes.
The Mighty Ducks is my favorite movie.
I was just thinking to myself the other day, if they cut the speech from the FP for the Ducks and put that into the Mighty Ducks, would it make the Mighty Ducks a better movie?
It would make it a superb. A far, far better. It would make it make significantly less sense, but it would have been a far better movie for it.
Maybe they make it the intro speech as to why they call themselves ducks.
Andrew, please. I just want to stop thinking about what Douglas just said. I move on. Because while I'm not like, I can't be sure that that is the most racist thing that has been said on the podcast, it is clearly up there.
Oh, wow.
It is so racist, it made me uncomfortable. That is how racist the thing Douglas just said to me is.
So, right. So I'm going to move us away from that conversation. Thank you very much. I'm going to say my final film, obviously.
I'm about to Django Unchained your mama.
Is that where you sell him into slavery and then he comes and kicks your ass later?
That is, without the slavery, well, I'm here in the middle of the night, so I guess that's some kind of slavery. Andrew, please.
Work. Psh. Mush. Psh.
I hate you people.
Oh, I need a moment. Okay.
Ooh, racist hippie.
So the number one film in my list is a movie that I probably wouldn't have rated higher than some of the films in my list. Other than, I kind of wanted to highlight how much I adore the filmmaking of this movie itself. And it's a movie directed by Alfred Hitchcock. Came out in 1948 by the title of Rope. And I discovered this movie was apparently inspired by the Leopold and Leob murders of 1924. It's a story of these two guys who have this idea to have a dinner party and at the same time discuss the fact that they just completed a murder, claiming that they are superior to other beings and therefore have the right to commit murder. And it's this amazing film where Hitchcock kind of makes you feel as if he's done this entire 90-minute film in one complete take, which obviously is not only timing and planning out nightmare, but a technological impossibility at the time where they were still using film cartridges and those last up to around 15 minutes max. But he does it so wonderfully where he always has a cutting point where it isn't quite obvious where he's going through, like he goes behind a desk and then comes back up and it almost only happens for barely a second where you see the movie kind of have a break cut, but it picks up immediately and continues on this wonderful journey. And the dialogue that you have between all of these characters, including having Jimmy Stewart in his movie, it helps a lot. I don't know if you guys have seen this movie, but if you haven't, you really should. I love it. I adore it. It is... it's one of my favorite Hitchcock movies.
I definitely need to go back and watch that movie because Andrew, what Andrew just described is a movie I want to watch. I remember not liking that movie, not even a tiny bit, because I thought, of course, it was long and boring. But that was a while ago. See, a long time. So I definitely... like, there's a lot of movies that I remember liking and not liking, but don't know why. And I know it is a dream that I'll chase forever, because the more movies I watch, the less I'll remember about specific movies. So this will keep happening. But whenever, like, you guys talk about certain movies, I just go, I really need to watch that, because I don't remember. And that is the worst feeling. Like, when I have a solid opinion, then I can lean on that opinion. That is garbage.
You can go, Andrew, you're wrong.
But when I say, I have seen that, I have no idea what I thought about that. That hurts. Yes.
And just to let you know, Douglas, when I asked you to pick what my audible would be, because I know this is just killing you and you have to know, the other choice was Glory.
Really?
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Come on, that might be the most racist.
So I just want to say something here, right? And I'm going to scold both of you.
Yes.
Right? I'm going to scold myself as well. Right? There are certain movies that should have been in your list.
Yes.
Damien,
I'm well aware that
Damien, I am very upset that you did not have either Argo Fuck Yourself or The Intouchables on your list. That is a shame.
There are better movies on this.
Andrew, I was very certain that one of these two movies would at least have been on your list. One being Charlie Wilson's War, and the other being 127 Hours. How do you not have those movies that you love?
I have it down there in the honor. You want me to list all my honorable mentions? Well, all the things on my list that I didn't call out?
We'll soon get to that.
I didn't.
You've given us a lot of mentions.
I know.
We don't want to hear anything from you anymore.
I must scold myself for not including The Counterfeiters, because that movie was awesome.
What was that one? Sorry?
The Counterfeiters. And that was on my list. That and two other movies that I love, Jarhead and Munich.
Okay, so you're done.
I mean, yeah.
Andrew Robinson, honorable mentions.
I had Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I had Raging Bull. I had The Social Network. 127 Hours.
Really? Come on. I wrote that down only because because that was at the point where I thought I wouldn't find very many movies.
And you were very, very wrong.
I was very wrong, yes.
50-50, Patton, 50-50. Che, and Raging Bull.
Alright, so you guys are dirtbags. The Pianist.
Well, I haven't watched that one yet, though.
Schindler's List.
Oh, I forgot about that. Awesome.
The Last King of Scotland. Black Hawk Down. The Damned United. Tombstone,
I love that.
That Boot.
Oh, my goodness.
Elizabeth. How did none of these movies?
You know what else, too? Blow, which we spoke about, and A Beautiful Mind.
But you already said Blow. Yeah, we spoke about Blow.
Yeah.
And, of course, Rambo First Blood Part.
Of course. That's cool. And Andrew, how could you not mention Zodiac? How could you not mention Zodiac?
Because that is as loosely based on a true event as loosely can.
But speaking of scolding people for incorrect decisions, I have to scold all three of us. And, well, truly what I also need to do, what we all need to do, is to write a letter of apology. And to our listeners, on behalf of myself, Andrew, and Damien, we apologize for last week when we did a top five list of actors we would do anything for, not including Mr. Timothy Oliphant. We,
I thought about that. I went, I'd watch anything Timothy Oliphant is in.
I would, though.
And then I looked at that list and I went, nope.
Did anyone here watch his romantic comedy last year?
Which one is that?
What was it? The one with the baby?
Right.
Is that him?
No, that's not him. That's Josh somebody.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no.
There are some things he did in our past life. Pre-justified that Damien will have.
No, like, man, he has some.
Like, there's a lot of people. When I came up with that list, you know, there's a lot of people on my list. I'm like, I'll watch anything these guys are in.
Yeah.
And then I went on IMDb and looked at their list and I went, there's no way I'm watching any of this. There's absolute. I am not. Like, the person that we should have talked about but didn't was Denzel Washington. Well, I would love to say that I'd watch anything Denzel Washington is in. But that is clearly a lie. Because these coming things that have gone. There's just no way. There's just no way I'm going to watch it. And so, yeah.
Oh, he's in I'm Number 4. I did watch that, though.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Are you going to watch I'm Number 4?
No.
I watched it already, is what I'm saying. I have watched it.
Hush.
He's in Electrolux, which I watched.
Absolutely
he's in the
not.
Crazies, which I watched.
Nope.
A Perfect Getaway,
which
I watched.
Is awesome.
It is awesome. High Life.
I started to watch High Life and went, this is not good enough. Nothing is good enough for me to watch this.
Hitman, I watched, but I didn't watch these things in the middle here.
I saw Stop Loss.
I don't know what Bill is.
Stop Loss is pretty good.
Catch and Release. I watched that and actually thought it was good. Deadwood. My Name is Earl. I watched all of that. Girl Next Door, I love that movie.
I started watching Dreamcatcher once.
Dreamcatcher was bad, but I did watch
it. This is the worst thing that has ever happened to anything.
I have actually, like, while I'm going down here, and this is, so far I've gone through a significant chunk of his career, right. I've watched most of these movies.
But that is the thing. It is not, like, we have to be willing to go anywhere with
these guys. I've watched
Rockstar,
if this is what I think it is.
No, I have not watched it. Yes, and I have watched this. Oh my goodness.
And the answer to a lot of these questions, no vacancy. Guess who, when I'm ever going to watch that? Not never ever. All right. Scream 2, are you going to watch that?
I have watched it already. I have watched it already.
Wow, that's very sad.
I don't know if I would watch it again, but
guys, Life is Beautiful was on any of our lists for for movies based on a true story.
Oh, I didn't know that was based. I mean, is that based on a true story? I mean, yes, clearly World War II existed and Jewish people were sent to camps, but is that
a
story
specific story? Yeah.
I didn't know that, but yeah, that's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, but again, so all these movies are depressing.
Yeah.
How come no superhero movies are based on true stories? Didn't Batman actually happen?
Come if you on. Watch Super, that was real.
Super was real? Are you being serious or are you being an asshole?
I'm not being serious.
Okay,
but anyways, I guess we can cut this off here.
Yes.
So once again, I'd like to thank you for listening to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. You can find it over at gmanreviews.com. You can also subscribe through iTunes. Hopefully coming days you can subscribe through Stitcher. The podcast will always be there. I'm not sure what I'm saying. You can find me on Twitter over at Gman Reviews, Douglas at DJR lost his name, Damien at Damien _ White, where he will not respond to you. You can always leave comments on the post. You can respond to the question through email, Twitter, Facebook. I'll find them all. As I was saying, thanks for listening. Good night. I wasn't worried about no